This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Area News. Important stories that impact your life do not always happen in the metro area. Keep up with the news happening all around you and in your neighborhood, no matter where you live. For the next 60 minutes, it's Area News, right here on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Area News, and I'm your reader, John, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from various newspapers from throughout Northeast Indiana. And now I'll begin with the first article, which is from the Post and Mail, copyright 2025, KPC Media. We're reading from the Saturday, November 15th edition of the Post and Mail. This is Dateline South Whitley. Delta Theta Tau sorority influential in community. Delta Theta Tau Theta Kappa chapter of South Whitley held their meeting November 3rd at the South Whitley Town Hall. Donations go toward a Whitco scholarship, food bank, senior centers, and more. Members will be delivering nuts in a week or so from the Miller Pecan Company. We have already delivered the cheese balls that many of you ordered from us, said a news release. Thank you for your support. Jamie Platt posted some crafts made by sorority members on her Facebook page. They are being sold to buy hats and mittens to replenish the supply at South Whitley Elementary School. Christmas gift tags are for sale for 50 cents for a dozen. Jody Klopfenstein gave her report from the Province Convention. Marty Macy, Klopfenstein, and Platt had a great time celebrating with the other 75 ladies. We celebrated accomplishments from this past year, heard about other ways of making money for our communities, learned about our new forms from some of our national officers, and won some door prizes along the way, said Platt, who served as the 2025 Data Province Chair. She held the morning and afternoon meetings on November 1st. I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to represent Theta Kappa at this year's province as this year's province chair, said Platt. It was truly a rewarding experience. We had our visitation by National Officer Sharon Miller, who went over all of our books to ensure we had everything in line. We had a carry-in dinner between the visitation and our meeting and celebrated Founders Day at the end of our meeting. Founders Day celebrates the five young ladies from Muncie who started Delta Tau Theta Tau in 1903. We would love for any woman 18 years of age and older to come find out about our philanthropic sorority. Those interested can contact Platt at 260-224-7914 or any of the sorority sisters for more information about the organization. The next meeting will be held November 17th at the State Farm Office in Columbia City. And Dateline Ashley, Indiana. Ashley Tech Company promotes sustainability through new partnership. A tech partnership is reducing e-waste while creating new jobs in Northeast Indiana. Refreshed Tech, a tech buyback program in Ashley, and Ovation, a managed mobility service company located in Cornelius, North Carolina, have joined forces to transform device trade-ins. Refreshed Tech and Ovation have launched a strategic partnership to streamline the trade-in process for Ovation's partner network. This partnership has contributed to Refresh Tech's considerable growth and recent expansion into a 105,000-square-foot building in Ashley. This new warehouse will boost capacity to over 50,000 devices per month, while ensuring high standards for data security and reporting. It will also create many new jobs that will help support local economic growth in Northeast Indiana. Refresh Tech buys and refurbishes a wide variety of used technology devices like phones, tablets, Apple products, window devices, and more. It helps customers recover their tech investments while promoting a more sustainable tech ecosystem. Refresh Tech works closely with organizations and educational institutions to maximize the value of their used technology. By way of this partnership, the company processes several hundred devices per month. This results in a significant reduction in e-waste. By giving new life to otherwise idle technology, each traded device is inspected, renewed, and put back into use, extending its life and keeping it out of a landfill. And a couple of quick sports notes from the Post and Mail, Saturday, November 15th. Dateline Ligonier, Eagle Girls cruise past West Noble. The Columbia City High School basketball team used a balanced attack to defeat the West Noble Chargers on Tuesday night at West Noble High School, 60-18. Tora Holler led Columbia City with 18 points, and fellow senior Anessa Tonkel added 12 for the Eagles, who improved to 2-0 for the season. The story of the game was the Eagles' pressure defense as it wore down the shorthanded Chargers, who only have 8 players. Columbia City held West Noble to only 2 points in the second half. And Dateline Cherubusco, young Cherubusco girls hope to improve. Big changes are coming to Cherubusco High School girls basketball team in 25-26 as the Eagles adjust to the loss of graduation of 2 longtime standouts. Guards Bridget Timbrook and Brooklyn Sinclair were 4-year starters and accounted for more than half of the Eagles' 39.2 points per game last season. Second-year coach Don Cook, a former Carroll assistant, is working on changing the culture in Turtletown and has several key players returning from last year. She says, "We're young and inexperienced at the varsity level. We'll continue to build. The group hasn't played together, so the development of team chemistry will be a work in progress for a while." Reading from the Decatur Daily Democrat, copyright 2025, the Decatur Daily Democrat. Reading from the Friday, November 14th edition of the Democrat. Dateline Adams County. Adams County Community Foundation grants to Agape Respite Care for Guest Dining Room Update. The Adams County Community Foundation is pleased to announce that Agape Respite Care has recently awarded a grant for Agape Guest Dining Room Update. Agape Respite Care provides short-term care and support services for persons with physical and intellectual disabilities in a home-like setting. In efforts to maintain the comforts of home, Agape Respite Care has been working to improve their facility to make their guests' stay more enjoyable. Therefore, they applied for the Community Foundation grant to assist with updating the guest dining room. Sherry Kaiser, Agape Respite Care Executive Director and Grant Writer, expressed appreciation for the support from the Adams County Community Foundation for the dining room update. Ken Ketzler, Community Foundation Board Member and Grant Committee, added that the foundation is happy to support Agape in the impressive professional services offered for their clients and families. Sherry added that Agape is an organization that has full state respect, and many communities have contacted Agape to learn how to have a facility like this in their community. The grant was possible through the Eugene and Sandra Butcher, James E. Luganville, and James Barney Schultz Community Enrichment Funds. And Dateline Indianapolis, Tom Krickerberg elected third vice president of AIC. Tom Krukerberg, Adams County Recorder, was elected third vice president of the Association for Indiana Counties Board of Directors. He began his term on November 1st. Board elections were held during the convention's annual conference in September. I am honored to be elected to third vice president on the executive board for the Association of Indiana Counties. I will look forward to working with other elected officials across the state to help all 92 counties in Indiana to better serve the taxpayers, Tom Krukerberg said. I look forward to it. Contributing in any way I can to support the association work across Indiana. Tom Krukerberg is in his second term as Adams County Recorder and was elected to his second term in November. He has served as the Indiana Recorders Association president and past president. He has served the county council for 4 years, treasurer for 8 years, and recorder. He has also worked for the sheriff's department as a part-time jailer and bookkeeper. The AIC Board of Directors sets policies and legislative goals for the association. Dateline Decatur. All North Adams teachers to get raises or stipends. An estimated 127 teachers in North Adams Community School will receive raises or stipends according to the new teaching contract approved by the school board at its November meeting. With member Michelle Stimson absent, the board voted 6-0 for the contract that had previously been okayed by a large percentage of the members of the North Adams Teachers Association. In a related matter, North Adams Community School Superintendent Kim Hyatt reported to the board about the latest Teacher Appreciation Grants Award that have been given out for years after being created by the Indiana General Assembly. There are three monetary levels of the TAG awards available, she said, $3,500 and $5,000 and $7,000. However, she added, the legislature has not appropriated nearly enough funds to cover those three categories in all school districts in the state. TAG awards are now competitive, she said, and teachers at North Adams have until December 29th to apply for them. The board also voted 6-0 for these other matters, approving policies about dress and appearance, curriculum development, field trips, and corporation-sponsored trips, guidance and counseling, retaking of class, employment of staff, health services, use of medication at school, public hearing before the start of collective bargaining, and public meeting before ratification of a tentative agreement, schools and government agencies, and investigations by the Indiana Department of Child Services. Approving a memorandum of understanding for the school resource officer who works at all three North Adams Community Schools. Every day classes are in session, Hyatt said. The officer, Andy Ewell, is doing an excellent job. He is a patrol officer with the Decatur Police Department. Approval of a required bond for the director of the district's food service director, Karen Stewart, since she handles a large amount of meal money and buys a great deal of food and beverage products. Acceptance of two donations for the Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program, $200 from Walmart and $250 from Mr. Planner in Decatur. Acceptance of five donations in memory of Belmont Elementary School teacher Kelly Shinneberry, who suffered an untimely death and was much respected by her students, staff, and parents. These amounts were received: $100 from Richard and Sue Sprunger, $25 from Sharon Wellman, $50 from Karen Duchenet, $50 from Andrew and Christine Gagline, and $40 from Donna Gagline. There was a 5-1 vote with Wiley Sirk opposing to approve the district's 2026-27 calendar. The board reviewed but did not vote on overall expenses for teachers. There were three personnel items okayed unanimously. Sandy Buzik was named co-sponsor of the Belmont High School National Honor Society chapter. Fedbrono Ramon resigned as custodian at the elementary school. Beth Corson resigned as healthy family resource specialist. Two field trips were approved unanimously. The high school German club, using the German spelling for club, on December 13th to the Chicago Christmas market. The high school rifle club to Camp Perry in Port Clinton, Ohio, on November 15th. Superintendent Hyatt made brief reports. Preliminary ILEARN scores show North Adams students have done well this year. She commended the 7th grade football team for winning the Northeast 8 Athletic Conference this year for the first time. She congratulated two high school girls teams, the soccer squad that had a great postseason, and the volleyball team that won a Class 4A sectional for the first time after moving up due to having outstanding statewide success in Class 3A. Veterans Day was celebrated on the day of the school board meeting. The annual high school career fair was conducted on November 7th. The second annual senior breakfast will be on November 21st at the high school, as members of the senior class invite their grandparents or any other family member important to them for a morning meal. It was very popular in 2024, and Hyatt expected it to be that way or more so this year. Finally, board member Wiley Sirk, who's a former North Adams superintendent, said he may attend the March 13th through 15th convention in Louisville of the new, more conservative National Conference Education Evolution Group. He said the Indiana School Board Association has withdrawn from the more liberal National School Boards Association. Sirk also said the ISBA will ask the Indiana General Assembly in its 2026 session to allow school board members or local business planning or advisory organizations to be allowed to vote as members. North Adams Community School Board member David Hill is a non-voting member of the Decatur Redevelopment Commission, for example. Accidents reported in the Friday, November 14th, Decatur Daily Democrat. A pair of recent accidents were released on Thursday. Improperly backing up was determined to be the primary cause of a two-car wreck on North 3rd Street at 6:10 p.m. Wednesday that was investigated by the Decatur Police Department. Jeffrey S. Krieg of Decatur was waiting to turn left onto North 3rd Street in a gray Chevrolet Traverse when the silver aluminum Dodge Dakota being driven by John A. Rickford backed into the rear passenger side of his car. Neither driver was hurt in the wreck. The damage was estimated to be in the range of $2,500 to $5,000. A crash was investigated by the Adams County Sheriff's Office. It was deemed to be the result of failure to yield the right-of-way. The accident involved two vehicles and took place in Monroe at the intersection of County Road 200 West and County Road 300 South. Mark L. Tunnel of Indianapolis said he was stopped at the stop sign while facing south. Tunnel believed there was no traffic coming across and proceeded into the intersection. That's when a collision occurred between Tunnel's white Lexus ES and the black Volkswagen Jetta Sportwagen that David J. Wickey of Monroe was driving at the time. Wickey said he was driving west on County Road 300 South. He added that he saw Tunnel stopped at the sign, and then Tunnel moved into the intersection, cutting through Wickey's lane of travel in the process. Wickey said his attempt to brake was unsuccessful. Both vehicles came to rest southwest of the intersection. Wickey's car striking Tunnel's vehicle on the driver's side, causing Tunnel to be trapped inside the car. Tunnell reported having pain in his abdomen and gut after the accident. He believed he had a broken bone, and he was transported to the hospital to receive treatment. A passenger in Tunnell's vehicle, Charlotte A. Fisher of Indianapolis, reported body pain. Wookie was evaluated later at the hospital. He was informed by hospital staff that he sustained a compression fracture in his spine during the crash. Both drivers agreed to be tested for alcohol. The two portable breath tests came back with 0.0 readings. The damage caused by the crash was estimated between $10,000 and $25,000. Continuing from the Decatur Daily Democrat, reading from the Saturday, November 15th edition, Dateline Adams County. Heroes enjoy meal at Adams Memorial Hospital. On Veterans Day, Tuesday, Adams Memorial Hospital celebrated those in the community who have served by inviting them to a brunch. Veterans from each military branch were on hand. The veterans were permitted to bring a guest with them to enjoy a complimentary meal that was served as a token of Adams Memorial Hospital's gratitude for their service and sacrifice. Adams Memorial Hospital served 219 meals from a home-style menu that was prepared by the Nutritional Services Department. Swiss steak, chicken and noodles, mashed potatoes, butter, corn, green beans, and bacon were all available for the veterans and their guests. They could also pick from a dessert selection that included chocolate or lemon cake, as well as sugar cream or pumpkin pie. On Dateline Decatur, Belmont High School marks 10th year of annual career fair. High fives, handshakes, and a glimpse of the future. Belmont students took center stage at today's career fair. Belmont High School celebrated the 10th year of its annual career fair on November 14th, welcoming students and community partners for a morning dedication to career exploration and real-world readiness. The event ran from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., giving students ample time to visit booths, speak with professionals, and gather information about future career pathways. The fair has become a longstanding tradition at Belmont, designed to prepare students for life beyond high school by connecting them with local industries and post-secondary opportunities. Guidance Director Sean Farrote highlighted the importance of giving students real-world exposure. "This is a way to help students understand what the real world is like," Farrote said. "We want them to get comfortable meeting business owners, recruiters, and professionals from right here in our community. These interactions help them build confidence and understanding the opportunities available to them." The gymnasium was filled with representatives from fields such as manufacturing, agriculture, healthcare, public safety, technology, skilled trades, and higher education. Exhibitors provided insight into daily job responsibilities, training requirements, and available pathways from college to apprenticeships to immediate workforce entry. With its 10th anniversary now marked, Belmont continues to strengthen its partnership with local businesses, aiming to expand future fairs with even more hands-on demonstrations, career readiness experience, and opportunities for students to explore their potential. As the students left the fair today, many carried more than brochures. They left inspired, motivated, and ready to take their first steps towards the future. Dateline Decatur. The Hive to host gingerbread competition. The Hive Art Gallery will host the annual Decatur Gingerbread Exhibit and Contest from 4 to 8 p.m. November 21st at The Hive, 188 North 2nd Street. Adults and businesses are invited to participate by building a gingerbread house, which will be displayed at The Hive throughout the holiday season. The top three finishers will be awarded cash prizes. Entries should be delivered to The Hive November 18th through the 20th between 4 and 7 p.m. Judging will take place November 20th. We welcome adults and businesses to participate by building a gingerbread house to put on display, said organizer Louise Ray. Come enjoy the fun and don't miss out on the tree lighting November 21st at 6 p.m. with toy giveaways afterwards and gifts for the children. Please join us to celebrate the holiday. All entries will be displayed at the Hive for public walkthrough November 21st. For more information or to register for the gingerbread exhibit and contest, call the Hive Art Gallery at 260-301-3014. Additionally, gingerbread house decorating for kids will take place from 8:30 to 12 noon December 6th at the Riverside Center, 231 East Monroe Street. Admission is free, supplies are provided, and creativity is encouraged. Reading from the Monroeville News, copyright 2025, the Monroeville News. We're reading from the Wednesday, November 12th edition of the Monroeville News. Speech Team competes. Liz and Tom Book of the Heritage Speech Team earned first place in Dubo interpretation at their recent meet. Braden Jarrett took second place in original oratorio, and Mo Escherek also earned a second place in the discussion category. The local Patriots team placed sixth overall out of 10 schools. On Dateline Monroeville, Monroeville Chamber sponsors Halloween Parade. The annual Halloween Parade has been a long-time tradition in Monroeville. The event first started with a local Lions Club, but has since been sponsored by the Chamber for the past 40 years. Monroeville Chamber of Commerce held their annual Halloween costume parade at the fire station due to a threat of inclement weather on Friday, October 31st, in conjunction with the fire department's chili cook-off. Ava Meyer acted as MC for the night with Judge Don Gerardo and Mary Johnston making the tough choices. The winners in each group received cash prizes, and all participants received treats. Group 1, first place, Cash Gerardo; second place, Kaylee Vorrell and Avery Lair; and third place was Skylar Gerardo. In Group 2, first place was Grayson Wasson; second place, Luke Sheed; and third place, Hunter Plunk. Group 3, first place, Riley Littrell; second place, Elsie Hernandez; and third was France Littrell. In Group 4, first place was Charlotte Krushner; second place, Reese Krushner; and third, Emily Madden. In Group 5, first place was Brooklyn Waters; second, Brinley Waters; and third, Abigail and Harper Hurd. In Group 6, first place was Camera Madden and Brady Parsons; second place, Tucker Gerardo; and third, Maddie Baumert. In Group 7, first place was Matthew Marker; second place, Olivia Madden; and third place, Savannah Booty. And in Group 8, first place was Lincoln Bosick; second, Audrina Ritole; third place, Sarah Booty; and also Becky Parsons. Reading from the Plain Dealer, copyright 2025, the Plain Dealer. We're reading from the Wednesday, November 12th edition of the Plain Dealer. Dateline LeGros. LeGros receives grants for grocery store. Plot twists continue in LeGros' quest for a grocery store. This time, it looks as though the story will have a happy ending thanks to a pair of financial gifts. LeGros Canal Foundation announced last Friday they were giving an $80,000 matching grant by an anonymous donor and another $20,000 matching grant from the Community Foundation of Wabash County. Through fundraising, the Canal Foundation has until December 31st to match the grants and secure potentially a total of $200,000 for the store plan for downtown LeGros. We're incredibly grateful for those matching gifts that show how much belief there is in LeGros' future, said Beth Gillespie, president of the LeGros Canal Foundation. The return of a full-service grocery store in downtown LeGros means more than convenience. It means food security, jobs, and momentum for the whole town. Extensive renovation has already been done on the vacant building on Washington Street. The structure is owned by the LeGros Canal Foundation and would be set up as a cooperative for community members. All members of the public will be able to shop at the store. Those choosing to pay a fee may join the cooperative and receive membership benefits yet to be determined. All profits from the market return to the foundation for future community projects. It's an endeavor, foundation leadership said in a recent, is a necessity. Our studies indicate we are in a food desert, added Gillespie. A food desert is a geographic area where residents have limited access to affordable, nutritious food, particularly due to a lack of nearby supermarkets or large grocery stores. These areas are often found in low-income neighborhoods and are characterized by a lack of transportation options, making residents more reliant on convenience store or fast food restaurants with fewer dietary options. We know that access to fresh, affordable food is vital for residents, said the LeGros Canal Foundation's grocery store project will make a meaningful difference, said Sam McFadden, Director of Community Grantmaking and Financial Management. The Community Foundation of Wabash County is proud to help bridge the gap left by the loss of Indiana State Department of Agriculture funding, so this effort can continue to move forward. The foundation is in the final phase of renovations of the building, and leadership thought going into the second quarter of the year, they were assured of $100,000 from the state. However, during the spring, foundation executives were notified a portion of that Stellar Pathways grant was rescinded. Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs announced late last year the county would receive $7 million in funding for numerous community projects as part of its Stellar Pathways grants, one such progress project being the grocery store in LeGros. That project was to receive $100,000 directly from the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. However, due to the state's revenue shortfall of $2.4 billion, lawmakers reduced funding to numerous state agencies, including a 17% reduction to Department of Agriculture's budget. Those wishing to donate to the fundraising campaign may go online at LeGrosCanalFoundation.com or mail checks to LeGros Canal Foundation, P.O. Box 3, LeGros, Indiana, 46941. And Dateline Wabash County, covered bridge closed to motorists. Wabash County Board of Commissioners voted to temporarily close the North Manchester Covered Bridge to vehicular traffic. The unanimous 3-0 vote came during the commissioners' meeting last Monday in the Wabash County Courthouse. The recently damaged iconic structure will remain open for pedestrian traffic, including bicycles, once it's repaired. The overhang of the portal to the bridge, just more than 7 feet in height, was damaged last Sunday when a truck, too tall for the overhang, tried to pass through. No injuries were reported, and repair costs have yet to be determined. The incident gave Wabash County Highway Superintendent Ryan Smith an opportunity to address the commissioners with the suggestion of temporary bridge closure. We will have bridge projects occurring in North Manchester, reducing lane usage, causing the number of cars traveling through the bridge to greatly increase, said Smith, who is concerned about the overall structural integrity of the bridge with significant use during the next year and a half. Indiana Department of Transportation has recently begun work on a $9 million, 18-month-long bridge project on Indiana State Road 114 in North Manchester. Another $3 million lengthy project begins soon on the Market Street Bridge in downtown North Manchester. It has been over 3 years of planning and coordination before the start of the demolition and replacement of the State Road 114. This new bridge will be a long-term blessing but a short-term headache for town residents and visitors entering town from the east, said North Manchester Town Manager Adam Penrod. Just as any other community improvement project, keeping the final goal in mind will help maintain a positive outlook on the completion of a new bridge. It is time, as NDOT inspectors had determined the 1960s-built bridge was at the end of its life. We as a community are grateful that NDOT has chosen this bridge to reconstruct and invest state funds in North Manchester. Wabash County Commissioner Cheryl Ross concurred with Smith's assessment. The time is opportune to close the covered bridge to motorists. Saving and preserving the bridge is very important, added Ross. North Manchester Covered Bridge was built in 1872 by the Smith Bridge Company of Toledo, Ohio. Measuring 150 feet long and 18 feet wide, it crosses the Eel River. The bridge was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1982. There are a total of 86 historic wooden covered bridges in Indiana. Wabash County's second covered bridge is the venerable Rowan Covered Bridge. Park County boasts 31 such bridges, garnering the nickname Covered Bridge Capital of the World. The pair of bridge projects are just some of the forthcoming changes for the community of 5,300 residents in North Manchester. Thanks to municipal, state, and Eli Lilly endowment grants, more than $50 million will be invested into the community during the next 5 years. Everything from infrastructure improvements, including the rebuilding of the aforementioned downtown bridge, to fun amenities such as much-anticipated pickleball courts are planned. Among the projects in North Manchester include the expansion of the Coop Business Incubator, Eel River Commons, a riverfront development project involving retail and residential growth, and the Manchester Mile, a streetscape and trail project creating a connection between Manchester University and downtown. And from the Plain Dealer, there are two separate wrecks with one fatality. Police say no students were hurt when a Huntington County Community School bus was involved in a Friday crash. But in a separate Saturday wreck, an unrestrained young woman was thrown from a vehicle and died. Truck versus bus. Just before 5 p.m. Friday, Indiana State Police said they were called to a wreck near Huntington County Road 825 West in U.S. 24 involving a school bus and two other vehicles. A trooper arrived to find one person injured and trapped inside a vehicle. Initial evidence showed the school bus, driven by John Hall, age 62, of Andrews, was driving south on County Road 825 West and had successfully crossed the westbound lane of U.S. 24, but then failed to yield to traffic in the eastbound lanes, police said. The bus hit a Dodge van driven by Bradley Mix, age 56, of Fort Wayne, that was heading east on U.S. 24. The van rolled onto its passenger side and slid into a Ford truck driven by William Wiles, age 69, of Andrews, that was stopped at the intersection of Indiana 105 and U.S. 24. Mix was trapped inside the Dodge van and suffered non-life-threatening injuries. After he was extricated from the van, he was transported to a local hospital for medical care. There were no students on the bus and no other injuries reported. And in the wreck involving one fatality, at roughly 1:10 p.m. Saturday, police were called to a single vehicle crash involving a 2012 Dodge Ram pickup truck in the area of 10725 South Warren Road, Indiana 218. Upon arrival, responders found the pickup truck on its side and the single occupant partially pinned under it. Life-saving measures were performed, but the driver ultimately succumbed to the injuries at the scene. On Sunday morning, Huntington County Coroner Phil Zahm identified the driver as Skyler Michelle Bryant, age 24, of Van Buren, and said she died of multiple blunt force trauma injuries. Huntington County Police said evidence would indicate the driver was traveling south on South Warren Road at a high rate of speed when the pickup truck left the east side of the road, striking a mailbox at 10554 South Warren Road, overcorrecting, then traveling sideways approximately 1,000 feet before overturning, striking trees, and ejecting the unrestrained driver. Debris from the crash struck a window of the house at that location, breaking it. Along with speed, alcohol is considered a factor in the crash. Continuing from Northeast Indiana news sources, reading from the kpcnews.com, copyright 2025, reading from the Herald Republican, Dateline Angola, Indiana. Angola high school teacher arrested. An Angola high school teacher allegedly had THC edibles at her desk at school, and at least two students ingested some on Thursday, said a news release from the Steuben County Sheriff's Office, leading to her arrest on Friday. Deborah McGillum, age 49, of Redding, Michigan, was booked into the Steuben County Jail Friday evening on charges of Level 6 felony neglect of a dependent child and Level 6 felony possession of a Schedule 1, 2, or 3, or 4 controlled substance and Class C misdemeanor operating while intoxicated. McGillum is a language arts teacher who has been at Angola High School since 2017. Saturday afternoon, McGillum was released from jail after posting $6,505 in bail. As of Monday afternoon, an arraignment has not been set in Steuben Superior Court. Legal counsel has not been listed in charging documents filed in court on Monday. The Herald Republican started receiving tips about an incident involving drugs that occurred in a classroom at Angola High School on Friday morning. Information put out by the sheriff's office in its news release corroborated information provided to the newspaper. A sheriff's office school resource deputy was made aware of the incident involving the consumption of THC gummies by two students that had occurred on Thursday during the last class period of the day, the sheriff's news release said. As more information was gathered, sheriff's detectives were called to assist in the investigation. The preliminary investigation indicated that two students involved were in class at the time of the incident and were unaware that the candy they ate contained THC. The candy was reportedly located inside the classroom out in the open. Further investigations determined that the candy was brought into the classroom by McGillum, the news release said. As the investigation continued, additional food items suspected of containing THC were allegedly located in McGillum's possession, the news release said. Detectives conducted interviews of the students involved, as well as McGillum, who had driven to the sheriff's office. During McGillum's interview, observations were made and information was developed to believe that she had operated a vehicle while impaired. Following the interviews with the police, McGillum was booked into the Steuben County Jail. Meanwhile, a message was emailed Friday evening to all parents of students enrolled in the MSD of Steuben County by Superintendent Matt Wiedenhofer. It read as follows. Dear parents and guardians, the school district is aware that an MSDSC staff member has been booked into the Steuben County Jail. The district has initiated an internal investigation and appropriate disciplinary action will be taken in accordance with district policy and applicable law. The sheriff's office has informed the Indiana Department of Child Services about the incident. If convicted of all charges, McGillum could face up to 6 years in prison and fines ranging up to $10,000. Reading from the News Sun, Dateline LaGrange. LaGrange partners with nonprofit to seek grant for men's home. The LaGrange County Commissioners partnered with Inspiration Ministries on Monday, allowing the Butler-based nonprofit to apply for a $750,000 Community Development Block Grant from the Office of Community and Rural Affairs. This is the third time Inspiration Ministries has applied for the OCRA CDBG. It was successful the first two times, setting up addiction recovery houses in DeKalb, Noble counties. Monday, Inspiration Ministries President Andy Foster told the LaGrange County Commissioners the organization has poised itself for major government grants by achieving every recovery program credential it can, meeting national and evidence-based standards. With the commissioner's blessings, it will prepare and submit the grant request to OCRA with assistance from Region 3A. The hope is to build a new facility to house around 15 men from LaGrange County who are ready to get off drugs and alcohol and renew their lives with purpose. It would be supervised 24 hours a day, subsisting on grants, donations, and government subsidies. Foster said conversations have been underway in LaGrange County for several years. The timing for the ORCA grant phase is a unique opportunity, he said. Monday, the commissioners pondered building the men's recovery house on property adjacent to the LaGrange County Jail, just south of LaGrange. We do have a blueprint that we've used before that we've executed in Butler, said Foster, who was accompanied to Monday's meeting by several other Inspiration Ministries administrators and supporters who applauded when the commissioners voted to allow the grant submission. Commissioner Peter Cook said he had discussions with Foster in the past about the possibility of siting a men's recovery home in the county. It never was the right time until now, Cook said. Because of Inspiration Ministries' credentials and experience with the grant process, Foster says he feels confident about getting the award. We have been around for almost 15 years, and we have been housing people for 10, said Foster. He said the organization has a sustainable strategy with a goal of keeping people out of the system. Instead, he says it creates an atmosphere encouraging people to be eager to work and support their families. There have been a couple of hundred graduates over the year, and less than 10% reengaged in the criminal justice system, Foster said. One of the hallmarks of the program is that those who are admitted express strong interest in turning their lives around. We want people to be willing to receive help, which keeps a good culture in our homes. The need for law enforcement intervention at the existing Inspiration Ministry facilities has been minimal, he said. Safety, productivity, that is our mantra every day. Our commitment to this county is that we are present and we are willing and we are ready. Continuing from the News Sun, Dateline Howe, Indiana, Howe University achieves accreditation. Great Commission University has announced that it has been granted accredited status as a Category 3 institution by the Transnational Association of Christian Colleges and Schools. The university occupies the former campus of Howe Military School. A Category 3 institution means that the university's highest accredited degree is a master's. Category 2 would be a bachelor's degree, and a Category 1 are associated with certificate programs. The new status was granted by the TRACS Accreditation Commission on October 21st and is effective from July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2030. The milestone marks a historic moment for GCU as it continues its mission to equip men and women for effective ministry and leadership in fulfilling the Great Commission through biblical higher education. TRACS is a national accrediting agency recognized by both the U.S. Department of Education and the Council for Higher Education Accreditation. Accreditation by TRACS signifies that the Great Commission University meets recognized standards of academic and institutional quality and integrity. Today we give all glory, said Paul Forrester, president of the university. This achievement is the fruit of years of dedication, prayer, and sacrifice by our staff, students, faculty, supporters, and friends across the world. Accreditation enables us to serve our students at a higher level, ensuring excellence in education while remaining faithful to our mission. GCU first achieved candidate pre-accredited status with TRACS on January 1st, 2025, following a rigorous self-study process and an on-site evaluation visit by TRACS in July, the university has now successfully completed all requirements for accreditation. With this achievement, Great Commission University is now positioned to expand its educational offerings, enhance academic quality, and pursue additional approvals and partnerships that will allow it to better serve both domestic and international students. Reading from the Star, Dateline Garrett, Indiana. Heffelfinger named new Garrett police chief. Mark Heffelfinger doesn't have to stay retired long. At the start of 2024, he retired for a second time after serving 4 years as chief of police for his hometown Butler Police Department. That's after he retired after serving 34 years with the Indiana State Police. Now he's being called back to duty once again, this time for the city of Garrett. On Monday, November 10th, Heffelfinger was appointed by Mayor Todd Fiant to lead the Garrett Police Department. Heffelfinger explained his job is to regain the public's trust in the police department. In October of 2023, the DeKalb County Prosecuting Attorney's Office informed Garrett officials that it will no longer file any charges by Garrett police. In a story that appeared in November of 2023, Fiant said the action had turned the department into nothing more than a security guard company. In a letter sent to city officials on October 13, 2023, the DeKalb County Prosecuting Attorney's Office announced it would not accept cases filed by the Garrett Police Department pending an ongoing investigation by the Indiana State Police. After meeting with the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy and the Indiana Prosecuting Attorney's Council, I've decided that our office will not be filing any new criminal cases that is investigated by any member of the Garrett Police Department, the letter signed by DeKalb County Prosecuting Neil Blythe said. Blythe asked Indiana State Police to investigate the Garrett Police Department following an incident that occurred in September of 2023 that had been part of what he calls an ongoing cultural problem. I have been in communication with the Indiana State Police as their investigation continues, the letter from Blythe read. I will determine the appropriate next steps at the conclusion of the Indiana State Police investigation into the conduct of several officers of the Garrett Police Department. In November of 2023, Blythe said he would not comment on the specifics of the conduct mentioned in his letter, but said in some instances it is extremely concerned with the integrity and the completeness of the evidence that is being presented to the prosecutor's office. Since that time, the Garrett Police Department has seen several officers come and go. In a phone interview, Heffelfinger said Garrett allows 14 officers, including the police chief. As of Friday, the department is down 3 officers. My purpose is to reestablish some credibility within the department where the department is respected by the public. They have a lot of good officers in Garrett, and given time, hopefully they can reestablish the public trust. So far, I've been impressed by the officers I've met, Heffelfinger said. An Eastside High School graduate, Heffelfinger said, at the time of his 2024 retirement, while he didn't have any specific influences, he always knew he wanted to get involved in law enforcement. I can't really put a finger on it, but I knew in high school that what I wanted to do. I was cautious about what I did with some of the characters that I may be associated with because I knew someday this is what I wanted to do. At age 21, he applied to the DeKalb County Sheriff's Office, originally working as a reserve before becoming a deputy. After about 5 years, he transferred to the Butler Police Department where applying to Indiana State Police. At that time, it was a numbers game, he said. We had 4,600 applicants applying for 60 positions. I came to Butler thinking, okay, I don't know if I'll make state police, so I'll come here. I was here for less than a year, and I got accepted to the state police. Once I got accepted to the state police, I spent the next 34 years there. State police was a godsend for me, Heffelfinger said. I got to do so many things. His first state police assignment was in Lake County, which he described as a very busy, happening place. In addition to patrol, he was on bomb squad and SWAT team. Later, he became a hostage negotiator. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been John with the Area News. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.